This is Jordan Secchio. Breaking news. Today, President Trump will announce a new immigration proposal in tandem with Senator Lindsey Graham's proposal to overhaul our asylum process.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
Hello and welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow, and there is some breaking news today on the domestic policy front. Of course, it affects foreign policy as well, but it's in really the key of this when it comes to immigration is protecting the United States and making sure those immigrants who do immigrate lawfully to the United States are the kind of immigrants that we need in our country, the best immigrants, the ones who have merit-based systems and kind of following where many other developing, top developed nations, people don't like saying first world anymore, but top world developed, most developed nations in the world with strong economies and many different kinds of opportunities for people. Looking at that merit-based immigration approach instead of a chain migration approach. So beginning to limit chain migration, not all of it, by the way, but to beginning to limit a bit of chain migration. So the president of the United States, President Trump, after we're on the air today, remember, we are live from noon to 1 p.m. Eastern time. I know some of you hear us at different times, but that is why we are at where we're at right now. We're trying to get as much information as we can to you during while we're on the broadcast. I know Than Bennett is working contacts in Washington, D.C. about this plan. Let me just tell you all kind of what we know from the president's plan, and then we'll get into also what Senator Lindsey Graham is proposing when it comes to asylum. So kind of a dual track, handling both immigration and asylum, because it's difficult to handle one without the other when you've got this influx of people, many who are actually trying to claim asylum. So what the Trump plan we know will be putting forward, and there'll be more specifics laid out from the White House later, but what we know is that it will cut some chain migration, about a third of the chain migration that we have right now. And remember, this is a plan that's being designed that could get bipartisan support. So I think this is a plan that could try to move through even a very divided Congress. It would also be a merit-based point system, similar and modeled on what Canada, Australia, New Zealand, and Japan already do. Now, are those countries the left points to as countries that are out of step with Western political values and human rights? Canada and Australia and New Zealand? I mean, usually those are like the left. They love talking about Canada. They love talking about Australia and New Zealand and the social welfare that those programs have. Well, great. Let us model our system over theirs, like theirs, a merit-based system. It would also, and I think this is so important, this lottery system to get a visa. So people who have stood in, waited for many years to get the documents necessary to get a visa to immigrate to the U.S., and yet there's this lottery going on that lets random people in to bypass the entire process. And again, so ending that visa lottery system. And as we said, that is what President Trump will be focusing on today in the Rose Garden speech and then in the larger plan that will be released with the top line items to the public later today. And then Senator Lindsey Graham as well has got a plan on asylum. So you see how this is a two-track, and we'll go through that in a moment too. I will tell you at the ACLJ, we look at these proposals and we certainly agree. These are steps necessary to take. It doesn't solve every part of the immigration problem. I think Senator Graham's problem would solve a lot of the asylum issue. That's it's a more unique, focused issue than just immigration to our country in general. But you see asylum being used by a lot of these caravans reaching our border. So I want to get your thoughts on this. 1-800-684-3110. Are you ready to get behind actual legislative action that the White House and people like Senator Graham, President Trump are behind? And will you fight for it? Because I think there are pressure points within the Democrat Party. Not everyone is Nancy Pelosi and Rashida Tlaib in the Democrat Party. There are pressure points there where if it was truly bipartisan and it was handling some of the problem, and we're not talking about walls, give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. I want to hear from you. Any shot. And we're realistic, too, on this broadcast, but I want to hear from you first. Would you support it, and do you believe there's any chance of getting it passed before the next election? 1-800-684-3110. Call now.
It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of the many ACLJ members who stand with us, we've seen great success over the years as we engage in legal, legislative, and cultural issues that matter most to you and your families. The ACLJ is on the front lines when it comes to protecting your freedoms, defending Christians and their faith in this country and abroad, standing up for human life, battling big abortion, and working to cut off taxpayer funding of Planned Parenthood. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture, and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Half hour of the show today, we're going to be focused on what President Trump will be announcing from the Rose Garden. Senator Lindsey Graham is also beginning to release his plan. President Trump's plan that the White House is backing for Capitol Hill to take on is on comprehensive immigration reform. I think it's focused, too. And there's room for wiggle here on Democrats come back and say, okay, we do this, but with DACA. I mean, I think that you can make some kind of compromise here if you could get this under control. It's a dangerous situation on our border. It's bad. You know, and as someone who cares about human rights, cares about individual people, I don't want to see these kids in this situation or these parents in these situations. I've got young children, a young child. Many of you do, or your grandparents who know. You don't want to see these kids in these situations. It breaks your heart. So we've got to do something about it. Throwing your hands up in the air is not going to work anymore. The far left writers at the New York Times agree with us, by the way, now on this issue. So if they do, you would think, unless the only goal of the current House Democrat majority is to just never allow a vote on anything that President Trump could sign, then on maybe topics that are so supported nationwide that would alleviate a crisis and then allow the politicians to go back to being politicians and fighting over other issues. But it's a real crisis. I mean, you see that every time that someone who doubts this goes down to the border and sees it, they totally change their mind. They change their mind even on the wall. But this is not about that. This is about cutting some chain migration. So for Democrats, it wouldn't be all of it. It would be cutting about a third of it, which is still a lot. Focusing in on changing our system over to a merit-based point system like Canada, Australia, New Zealand, and Japan, countries that the liberals love, especially Canada, Australia, New Zealand. They always say, if this guy gets elected, they either say they're going to Canada or New Zealand, right? I mean, this is like the two they love to say. Well, this is how these countries handle it. So it's why they're places people want to flee from Republicans. So they should like those. And then ending this, which is just absurd. You know, a lot of us think the lottery is kind of absurd anyways, right? I mean, I think, you know, states, and they make a lot of money off of it for schools and other programming. But, I mean, you know, the chances of a lottery are pretty low. The immigration lottery, very different. I mean, the fact that you can get a visa into the United States via random lottery, and that we thought that was a good idea. You know, that's like what you start doing when you have a country that doesn't have enough people. And you start doing like mass immigration. There are times for that. There have been times for that in our country where we've allowed for mass immigration. And sometimes that's for humanitarian reasons. Sometimes it's because we need more people. This is one of those times where we've got to figure out, especially what's happening on our southern border. So ending the visa lottery, will that be too much for Democrats? I mean, and I'll go to Than Bennett on it. Than, right now I'm reading it's cutting chain migration, but not all of it. So about a third of it. It's merit-based point system instead of what we have right now, which is just basically out of control, and mostly based on family and chain migration. So moving over, shifting to the merits-based, and ending the visa lottery. I mean, those are the kind of three main items. I mean, are Democrats that into this lottery system that they would be so upset that they would prevent this from getting to a vote on the floor at least?
Yeah, we're about to find out. I don't think they're probably so attached to the lottery system they may oppose it. Jordan, I think if there is a hyperbolic reaction, it would simply be due to the fact that they're not willing to cooperate with the president. Now, look, I'm not saying that's going to be the case. I look at this proposal, and I think it should attract Democrat support. I mean, think about how eminently reasonable this is, Jordan. It actually does not attempt to change the number of the level of people who obtain legal status in the United States each year. That level would remain flat at about 1.1 million. And of course, that's a debate that still needs to be had. There's differences of opinion in Congress. All this does, Jordan, is say we are going to go about determining who makes up that 1.1 million in a way that benefits the United States of America. More of them are going to be based on employment. More of them are going to be high skill. A fewer of them are going to come simply because it's a chain-based migration system where if one member of the family comes, then suddenly, you know, 30 members of the family come. And Jordan, by the way, this is where it ties in to the asylum issue you were talking about with Lindsey Graham. There is a crisis right now that is being dubbed recycling children, where a child comes over because they know it will enable them to stay in the United States. Then, Jordan, that child doesn't stay. That child is sent back to Central America and is recycled and comes across with another quote-unquote family group. We have got to address this as a humanitarian nation, Jordan. And I think these two proposals together, I think it's a first step in that. Democrats ought to be willing to come to the table.
All right, let's go right back. Before we go to the calls, I want to let you hear from a former Obama official, not one we were always a fan of, but Jay Johnson. He was the head of the Department of Homeland Security, so he's a cabinet secretary under President Obama. I think you remember him. He was talking to Neil Cavuto about just how did we get to this point in America, Byte 15.
What happened? How did it all spiral like this?
Well, that's a good question. That's an excellent question. We had 100,000 apprehensions or encounters in the month of March and another 100,000 in the month of April. It's the highest it's been in 12 years. And to think of it this way, that is the equivalent of the population of the city of Orlando, Florida, showing up on our southern border in the course of 2 months.
Just in Orlando with the family at Disney World, and that's a lot of people. You know, it's a lot of people. It's not like the biggest city in the U.S., but I mean, we're talking about on the border. That is a lot of people to handle and a lot of strain on infrastructure. So we'll get into the asylum issue as well. If you want to talk to us on air, we've already got a lot of calls in. There are two lines open right now. Give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Let's go first to John in North Carolina on line one, on line four. John, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. Hey, John.
Hey, how you doing, Jay?
Good. You're on the air.
Well, I call in because, you know, I used to be a Democrat, and that changed this year because I'm looking and watching what the Democrats are doing, and instead of them doing their job, they are constantly after this man, not giving him a chance to do exactly what he said he's going to do. So, I mean, it just made me sick to my stomach for Democrats to all try to get on the same boat and just go after President Trump just because he opens his mouth. You know, they got to get a man a chance to do his job. They're not letting him do his job, and I think that this proposal that's coming out, I think it's a great idea because, you know, it's not about the people of America anymore. Everything's about these immigrants. But to tell you the truth, nobody up there in the government lives beside these illegals but us. So we know firsthand what these people are about. And one, they're not about following our rules. Two, they're not going to speak our language. And three, I put 22 years in the military.
Thank you for your service. Thank you.
And to come, and thank you, to come home to this, it just makes me sick to my stomach.
So as someone who says you used to be a Democrat, I mean, is this going to affect how you're going to vote?
Oh, yeah, most definitely. Most definitely.
So this is a 2020 issue for you. You think you're going to end up voting for President Trump and Republicans?
I sure will. I will go for anybody that's running on the Republican side, because these Democrats, Tlaib and Ocasio, they're not about us. They're about what they can try to do to him. You know,
And an ideology that is not about you either. I mean, it's like it's ideologically based and anti-Trump based, and it's not America based. And I think the one thing we can give credit to this president for, you know, we talked a lot about Iran yesterday, and then there were news reports, and I probably absolutely agree with him. I think that some of this is playing diplomacy with Iran, but I think it gets to your same point, which is that, you know, we've got this massive buildup going on. We went through it point by point yesterday with Skip Ash, who is one of our senior military advisors at the ACLJ, about what it means to have these strike forces there and B-52 bombers and troops in Iraq and troop carriers for Marines and amphibious landing vehicles in the Persian Gulf within, of course, the range of Iran, and how much firepower that is. At the same time, you'll pick up the news today and see, well, the president, he doesn't really want to have to authorize 120,000 troops. I think that they're both right. This is a president who will put in the preparations necessary to defend our allies, Israel, but also in the Gulf states, and our interests, which is the economic interest of keeping the Strait of Hormuz, just like keeping the Suez Canal open. The only criticism I think we got was from a British commander who is like partnered with CENTCOM. By the way, look at the British history on trying to deal with the Suez Canal and that region. Never take their advice. They may be great soldiers on everything else, never have been good when it comes to the Suez Canal or the Strait of Hormuz and dealing with those kind of navigation issues. So I think it goes to all of that. The president's always thinking, how can I make this better for America? So having to have a conflict in Iran is made long-term if things go right. But he doesn't want us to have to do that if there's other ways. Sometimes it takes a lot of pressure. Sometimes the buildup looks like a buildup to war. Sometimes this back and forth is also to confuse those supposed master negotiators in Iran. It's to confuse them as well. So again, a lot to talk about on this immigration issue. We're going to continue to take your phone calls. We haven't even gone through Senator Graham's asylum plan yet for you. I think it works perfectly in tandem with what the president is going to propose later today. Give us a call, 1-800-684-3110, and go to aclj.org. Check out what we've got online.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of the many ACLJ members who stand with us, we've seen great success over the years as we engage in legal, legislative, and cultural issues that matter most to you and your families. The ACLJ is on the front lines when it comes to protecting your freedoms, defending Christians and their faith in this country and abroad, standing up for human life, battling big abortion, and working to cut off taxpayer funding of Planned Parenthood. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture, and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org.
I believe the President of the United States, as Commander-in-Chief, you know, he's dealing with the major foreign policy issues, the G20 on the horizon. He's got Mike Pompeo around the world handling these issues like Iran and North Korea, the tariff issue with China. So you've got the foreign issues that all affect us. I mean, in effect, become domestic. But at the same time, is looking at also issues that may be sometimes outside of our border, but then end up inside of our border, like immigration. And with Senator Graham's tandem plan on asylum, which I'm sure the president, I would think he backs. And these all have to go through the legislative process. There'll be amendments and changes, but we're now getting the top line. And the president is going to announce this fully later today on immigration. Let me make it clear, too. Sometimes, Stan, people do get them confused, understandably. When the president is talking about immigration, he's talking about the legal immigration process, the visa process, the is it a path to citizenship? Is it a work visa? But the visa immigration process. When Senator Graham talks about asylum, it is a very different process. That is a quicker process because of a fear of credible harm, a credible threat to your life. And so you get asylum very differently than you get than getting a work visa or a permanent visa or a pathway to citizenship. Sometimes they use the same systems to get to utilize the same court systems and things like that that we have set up, which are courts set up by Congress. Actually, a lot of these are Article I courts, so they're not Article III courts like the immigration courts or Article II set up through DOJ, but by congressional authorization. That these are two different issues, but they track.
Yeah, it's really an important distinction to make, and I'm glad you brought it up, Jordan, because the asylum process is one that we have long really cared about here at the ACLJ. We have used it to help individuals who are legitimately in fear of their life from religious persecution or otherwise to enter the United States. But we're in a situation now, Jordan, where the abuse of that process, specifically from the Northern Triangle in Central America, is actually undermining the ability of legitimate asylum seekers, people who are legitimately fleeing for their life for a covered cause under the asylum process. Their claim is not being considered in a timely fashion, Jordan, or they're not able to get through the process because it's being swamped by people who are claiming it illegitimately. So you're right, two distinct processes, but now they are overlapping with each other, and they're frankly undermining. You said in the last segment, you consider what the president is considering what's best for America, and I think that's accurate. But Jordan, in this case, what is best for America is also best for those who are legitimately trying to come to our country to claim asylum. Right now, their ability to do so is being undermined by the people who are abusing it. So I agree. The president's proposal and Senator Graham's proposal, I think both are needed to sort of address both those tracks.
I'm going to take a call, and then we're going to go through Senator Graham's asylum proposal in a little bit more detail for you. So it's just 4 points right now. I mean, you could get deep and deep and deep in the weeds, but for radio purposes, I think just sharing today both what the top line items from what the president will be discussing. So then if you do tune in or see it later on the news, you'll have already heard the top line items that the president discusses, probably as far as he goes in a speech. And then a full document will be released by the White House, one for the public, one that is more for building legislation. Same when it comes to Senator Lindsey Graham working on the asylum issue. But I do want to get to the calls. Let's go to Shannon in Georgia on line one. Shannon, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Jay. Thank you for taking the time to hear my thoughts.
Hi, Shannon.
Hi. As a citizen and as a law enforcement officer, I greatly appreciate President Trump's efforts to address the immigration crisis, as well as your efforts to get people talking about this important issue, Jay. When U.S. citizens commit horrific crimes, it takes a lot of work for law enforcement officers to track them down and hold them accountable. Mm-hmm. But when illegal aliens commit the same horrific crimes, it's even more difficult to do so because they are truly undocumented. It makes our job so much harder.
No, I understand. I mean, this is a huge resource drain on our law enforcement and on our court systems as well. I mean, the court systems are a huge part of this. Than, I wanted to walk through what, before we take more calls, just so people understand it, and give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. Remember, second half hour, we're going to get into the den of vipers, if you will, with Brennan and clappers saying that they had, they told Jim Comey, you better stay away from that dossier. And then people in the FBI saying, not so fast, Brennan. Former FBI officials say, we've got some email. So they took an email outside the FBI. That's interesting. Because I'm assuming they're no longer there. But even if they are leaking again from the FBI, that we've got an email saying absolutely use it in the intelligence assessment. That's one thing to put it in like the file, but it's another to say don't utilize it. So yeah, file it away as something bizarre. And I'm not a defender of John Brennan. He is not a defender of the President of the United States by any means. He's a really partisan actor, Than. But I think that's going to be very interesting to get into in our second half hour. So if you want to start calling to discuss that, we've got a couple lines open for you. This is kind of news that just broke last night, has gotten some attention. But I think with the shows that we've done, we've really set this up to have a full discussion on this because we told you on Monday, and I will play it for you to prove it. I promised you on the air that this would become like a viper's den of Washington bureaucrats and former political appointees, and the vipers were coming out. When you had Jim Baker, the general counsel of the FBI, former, start showing up on Rachel Maddow's show. So he picked a very partisan show with a very partisan host, not very, you know, I thought the FBI was above politics, so you choose Rachel Maddow as your first TV interview. Jim Comey's done kind of similar things. Haven't heard a lot from Andrew McCabe lately, or Peter Strzok or Lisa Page, but second half hour. We see Brennan all the time in Clapper. They're constantly on, and Brennan usually is on attacking the president. Clapper is usually on kind of deflecting away from attacking just the president and trying to say, like he tried to say about the Russia report, he was like, yeah, about the president. What about Russia? Why aren't we focused on Russia? My question to him would be, why weren't you? Like, hello, this happened under your watch, you guys, like you and Brennan and your friends, the Russia stuff. Why weren't you focused on it? If you were, man, you did a pretty bad job, I guess, or maybe you did a pretty good job since the Russians really didn't do anything. And so they may have tried this, tried that. But again, second half hour, that's coming up, 1-800-684-3110. And we will take all of your calls on immigration before we spin over to that. Let's try to take one more right now. Let's go to Mike in Oregon on line two. Mike, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi. I just have a quick question. Okay. The Democrats don't want to work with Republicans on immigration. So what happens if it doesn't pass? And right now you have hundreds of illegals being released into the U.S. every day. And what is the status of the wall of some of the funding that's already been approved as far as going forward, getting it built?
So, Than, a lot of what the wall is being used for right now, funding is being used to rebuild areas that had wall that have been totally fallen apart. But there is new wall being built as well. Beginning.
Yeah. Right, but even that is being opposed by Democrats in Washington, so they're not engaging on that issue either. I would just generally say this, Jordan. The numbers for the last month of migrants who were either arrested or detained or turned back, 109,000, Jordan, the second month in a row where it's been over 100,000. Look, it all ties together. If Democrats in Washington, D.C. aren't going to come together and actually debate, put forward their own proposals, well, then they are aiding and abetting that crisis, Jordan.
All right, folks, we come back. We continue to take your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. We will continue to take. If you've got still calls on immigration and asylum, the proposal that will be put forward by President Trump, the proposal by Senator Lindsey Graham, we'll still go through his proposal, too, Lindsey Graham's, when we come back. We'll take those as well as this new information about Brennan and Clapper. We'll be right back. Go to ACLJ.org.
It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at ACLJ.org.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. If you're on our email list, and I encourage you to do so because you get really informed. You know, we have an hour here to kind of hit the hot button issues of the day. We've got our website at aclj.org with great blogs there, easy to share with your friends and family, easy to read. They've always got links in there if you want to go like a step or two further in your understanding or more information. They've always got hyperlinks to really, so you understand. We even do a daily radio show recap. So if you hear something on the show while you're driving or while you're at work and you want to kind of check back, we kind of put that together for you in a recap in writing, but also in clips, video clips that we post later in the day on aclj.org. So aclj.org is a great resource for you, for our radio audience as well, for our supporters, yes, and for our audience. And many of you are both of those, and we appreciate that. And one of the things I wanted to highlight was that on this immigration issue, we were able to actually file, and it's in the email today that you're receiving if you're on the ACLJ list, but we filed an amicus brief and a brief support of the Trump administration in a lawsuit brought by states, blue states, and Congress, the House Democrats, against President Trump's movement of money to build the wall, because the last caller talked about where the status of the wall. So some of the money is not even in legal question. It was authorized. It can be utilized. Some of the funds now are facing legal challenge. We're on the side of the president. You're the reason we're able to do that because of your financial support for the ACLJ. Never forget, we're not doing a matching challenge right now, but your support always matters every week, every month. You can donate online at aclj.org. And it's how we can both bring you the broadcast, but then do something about it. Give you a way to do something about it. Let your voice be heard. Putting pen to paper, if the old school way of saying it. Filing it electronically, the new way of saying it, to the courts. And usually when you get to the Supreme Court, filing it both ways, both the printed and e-filing. But again, when you do all those prints, when you make all those filings, it does cost money to have attorneys to do this. So we're on the side of the Trump administration on that wall. I want to make sure that's clear, and on the funding for that wall. But we're talking about these new plans for immigration and asylum. Then we are going to switch over, bring in some of our rest of our team to discuss this Brennan Clapper telling Comey, I don't think you should use that dossier, which is in line with what the State Department, which I don't really love that the State Department knew. It's a little bit more, makes more sense that the CIA director and the head of director of national intelligence would know about the dossier than it is some State Department unnamed official. But it's, and this is all leaking, but now these are outside the government leaks, so it's a little bit different. It's the den of vipers, if you will. And I don't think that's good for James Comey. I don't think that's good for Andrew McCabe or the people on the FISA warrant. But then I did want to explain quickly Lindsey Graham's asylum proposal, what we've got from it right now, just so people know.
Yeah, so it really focuses on the asylum process, Jordan, that you've been alluding to. That process is swamped by people coming from the Northern Triangle, that's Guatemala, Honduras, and El Salvador, and then claiming asylum, most times not legitimately, Jordan. So what the Graham proposal would do is it would end asylum claims at the border for those three countries. Now, remember, you're supposed to claim asylum in the first country you enter after fleeing your country where you're in danger, so that, of course, those should not be being processed at the United States, but it would set up processing centers inside that region so that those claims could be made at the or immediately after leaving their country where they're fleeing from. Jordan, it would couple it with a couple of things. It would add additional 500 immigration judges to process those claims more quickly. And it would also say that families that do enter the United States from any region, not just the Northern Triangle, can be held for up to 100 days while those claims are adjudicated. So all of that put together, Jordan, what does it mean? It means that there will be a crackdown on the abuse of this system. They will be able to get a control of it. And quite frankly, those who are seeking legitimate asylum, they won't be overwhelmed by all these illegitimate claims. Their processes, their claims will move faster. So I think it's a great proposal and a great start on the asylum front.
And no challenge in court on the national emergency claim. I'm pretty telling there that we were right about the president's constitutional power to declare a national emergency, weren't we? Because that was their first thing. He can't do this. Oh, wait. Yes, he can. And we don't want other future presidents not to be able to do that. So we didn't challenge that. Now it's about money. Typical with Congress. We'll be right back on Jay Sekulow Live. We'll be right back.
It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of the many ACLJ members who stand with us, we've seen great success over the years as we engage in legal, legislative, and cultural issues that matter most to you and your families. The ACLJ is on the front lines when it comes to protecting your freedoms, defending Christians and their faith in this country and abroad, standing up for human life, battling big abortion, and working to cut off taxpayer funding of Planned Parenthood. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture, and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Got one more call to take on immigration, and asylum. If you've got more calls on that, we're absolutely going to take them today, and we'll welcome those calls. But we're also going to, after taking this call, switch some gears, because why is the ex-head lawyer at the FBI saying that we took the Trump dossier? I mean, literally, you can't make this up. I'll play the sound for you in a little bit. We took the Trump dossier, quote, seriously, but, quote, not necessarily literally. I mean, you know, you can't make up Washington. It's a bubble, yes, and it operates in a land of where logic goes out the door, where plain English is, who knows? And these are smart people, so they know they're just playing with words. But before we get too deep into that, I want to take James' call from Oregon. James, you've been holding on. I know you may have a disagreeing point, but I do. If we can get James a couple of our books for holding, and I appreciate it, James. You're on the air.
Thank you. Hi. I disagree with President Trump. I have watched this whole thing, and I tend to line up with the progressive wing of the Democratic Party most of the time, but I do cross over to conservative and libertarian viewpoints when they're reasonable. I voted for Ron Paul.
Yeah.
I never voted for Obama because he was Wall Street funded. Wouldn't vote for Hillary for the same reason. But I've signed, you know, the right to life with you guys to murdering babies is wrong. But the thing is that President Trump has been making a huge issue of this even before the immigration numbers went up. And the proof was that it was actually the lowest immigration we've had in a long, long time.
Well, that's not the case anymore. And you know that.
It's gone up, but...
gone up to the point where the New York Times has called a crisis. I mean, yes, you can go to the past, you can have your talking points on this and that, and I think there was a time period where people were maybe actually a little concerned about entering Donald Trump's America because of some news out there from the left, actually, that it would be so bad for them. But then they realized, wait, it's America. We can still try to come back. They got the same rules, so let's try to come back in. And that's why we're talking about changing the rules. But I mean, I'm not trying to cut you off, James. I just think that's where we were, that's wonderful. But where we are today is a humanitarian crisis. I mean, you don't disagree with that, do you?
The record of Donald Trump is a pathological liar who has told over 5,100 lies.
I'm cutting you off now. You held it a long time to get to get to nuttiness, James. True, true nuttiness. I mean, I don't know. You know, we're talking about Senator Lindsey Graham's plan and a White House plan, and he's killed lots of people. This is a guy who is a non-interventionalist, like your friend Ron Paul that you voted for. You probably voted for President Trump, it sounds like, which is interesting. I mean, you didn't vote for Hillary Clinton. You didn't vote for Barack Obama. So unless you're voting for some third parties, which I'll take that as a vote for Donald Trump usually. and those past election cycles, at least like their Republican vote. And it's not to demean. Again, I'm just not going to allow people to come on here and call people pathological liars who are responsible for this many deaths. And this, you know what? Presidents, unfortunately, have to make calls all the time. This president has made the least of those kind of calls to our servicemen and women, members' families when they are killed in the line of combat and duty. And he is someone who wants to withdraw. He's had generals, heads of the Pentagon, they said that's the reason why they're leaving, you know, as a cabinet secretary, secretary of defense, is because the president doesn't want to keep enough troops in Syria. And again, so he is not an interventionist. I mean, he is an America first, which means if we have to go to conflict, he wants the military absolutely capable of that. That's why so much of the budget is about getting this military into shape. And now it is. It's getting into shape. And look at the Iranians, half saber-rattling, but not all saber-rattling, if you notice. Interesting news report, too. Did you see that news report that Dianne Feinstein was walking down the street, left her phone out, a warning to everybody, on the phone side? And it was on her contact page, and the contact that was up, I mean, everybody can see this, was Javad Zarif, the foreign minister of Iran, which means she was in direct communication. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that, but maybe not giving his contact information out is a good idea. But how serious is the Iran situation? Well, one of the highest-ranking Democrats in the U.S. Senate was making her phone calls to the Iranian foreign minister, who's kind of the contact for the West. So we're taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. Sorry about that last caller going a little off the deep end. But so now we've got lots of lines open for you at 1-800-684-3110. How do you think this? Would you like, you know, your top FBI lawyer? So he's handling lots of cases, lots of criminal cases. Maybe you've ever been investigated or your company's been investigated by the FBI. Would you like him using evidence like this? Evidence that they took seriously, in quotes, but not necessarily literally, which means not necessarily real or true. So they're going to use things that aren't true against you because we're taking them seriously. You take an allegation of wrongdoing possibly seriously. Once you figured out that that's no longer not literal, so not true, you don't continue to utilize it, especially to spy on Americans, which is what Jim Baker signed off on, which is probably why he's decided to go now. Suddenly he's making his appearances on Rachel Maddow's show. He's choosing one heck of a tough audience. Let me tell you, that's a tough audience for a liberal guy going after the Trump administration. Rachel Maddow must have just really ripped his head off. Take a listen on Jim Baker talking on Rachel Maddow.
The information came in, and there was a lot of detail with respect to a lot of different types of activities that were allegedly going on. And so I guess the way I have phrased it, I think we took it seriously. We didn't necessarily take it literally. That was literally true in every respect. But it was something that we were obligated to deal with and obligated to assess, given what I understood to be the source of the information, Christopher Steele.
Okay, that was actually that time he did Rachel Maddow. That time he was on the same podcast, Skullduggery, that Rashida Tlaib was on when she made her celebration of the Holocaust remarks that have probably doomed the Democrats for the next election cycle. You heard it here first from Jordan Sekulow. Quickly, and you don't have to replay that, but I said it. Okay, Andy, I want to go to you on that first. As a former prosecutor, former U.S. attorney, yep. I understand that evidence comes in. They've got to review it. He's right on that point. But to take something seriously but not literally, would you ever use something that you don't take seriously as a basis for a FISA warrant?
Never, never. I mean, to say that we took it seriously but we didn't take it literally is double talk, and it's not worthy of the FBI. It's not worthy of anybody who would present evidence to a FISA court to get a warrant on an American citizen. Why does he say he was obligated to deal with it and to assess it? Before you do that, you find out what the source of it is. And then when he was asked in an interview, what was the details with respect to the investigative steps you took to validate it, he wouldn't talk about that. So he wouldn't say what he did to validate the allegations in this, what Comey called a salacious report. So he takes it seriously, but he doesn't take it literally. He won't tell you what he did to validate it, but he ultimately uses it in putting an application for spying on an American citizen. And then he says, we put the court on notice about matters regarding Steele's credibility so the court could make an assessment, but we have no evidence that he in fact did that. From what I can see is they took an unverified document. It was salacious. It was from an ex-spy. And they just use that information without verification, in my opinion, from what I can see, to go to a U.S. district judge on a FISA court and to ask for a warrant on spying on an American citizen. Would you do it again? He was asked. Would you do it again? Would you do the same thing again? He wouldn't answer directly.
And you said he was just on MSNBC again? Let's pull back and see what he was talking about. While we do that, because Jim Baker, again, suddenly becoming I wouldn't say household name, but a cable news MSNBC household name. These guys are all defending themselves. That's what I said it earlier in the week. And now we have reports that Brennan and both John Brennan, the head of the CIA, and the director of national intelligence, Jim Clapper, who was a CNN analyst on TV a lot, John Brennan, who tweets out just horrendous things about our current president. So, I mean, these are no fans. But they are now being reported. I'm sure they're having people do this for them because we said it's the swamp. Swamp creatures are pretty tough creatures. Hard to kill a swamp creature. Ask alligators and crocodiles. They're pretty good at going on the attack. Also against themselves, by the way. They eat their young oftentimes. Young here would be, I'd say, Clapper and Brennan, they would be kind of at the top. Comey would still be considered young to that world, and the deputies like McCabe and Strzok and Pages. And the reports are that they told Jim Comey, you should not use this for credible information, i.e., don't try to use this as a basis for a FISA warrant, Jim. That would be absurd. So now there's a crosstalk. Did he really say that? Did they really, was it Brennan who said that? Or did Brennan really want the dossier to be used? Can you imagine? We're still talking about the dossier. I will play for you when we come back. I predicted this when this all started on Monday when we saw what Rod Rosenstein kind of stirred that pot with that speech. He stirred that pot. And the vipers, that den of vipers started, they just started brooding. We're seeing it happen in our own eyes. A lot of it's happening on MSNBC, but we're able to bring it to you. And folks, we're going to take your calls in at 1-800-684-3110. The investigation of the investigators sure is getting interesting. 1-800-684-3110. We'll take your calls on that and immigration. We come back. 1-800-684-3110. Go to aclj.org.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of the many ACLJ members who stand with us, we've seen great success over the years as we engage in legal, legislative, and cultural issues that matter most to you and your families. The ACLJ is on the front lines when it comes to protecting your freedoms, defending Christians and their faith in this country and abroad, standing up for human life, battling big abortion, and working to cut off taxpayer funding of Planned Parenthood. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture. and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org.
How things turn out with Brennan, because you know we haven't fully flushed that out yet. Brennan and Clapper, as well. I mean, I think we might do a politics Friday tomorrow. Really get into some of the polling. We got another candidate, De Blasio.
Yes.
How many Democrat candidates for president are there? Is it? I've now
75.
I think there's 102. 23, and there's like three that poll in the double digits, or two. Maybe. I don't even know if there's three anymore that poll in the double digits nationally. And then, like, what are you going to do? Like, have 15 different debates? Like, because I remember where the Republicans had an issue where they had to have the top tier and then second tier, and you could move up and in between the tiers, and where you were on the podium also mattered. And are you kind of off to the side, which means you might be moving down to the second tier? I mean, they're going to have another mess. And the DNC has never been good at handling this. Their activists get mad about everything. They had a lot of real problems last time around. I'll give them that. I understand Bernie Sanders folks' concerns when there were questions being passed from CNN to the Clinton campaign pre-debate. That is wrong, and given to the DNC chair who was a Clinton ally. But can you imagine them trying to deal with this right now? I mean, first of all, it's like, who is the most liberal? Who's running the most failing city right now? Who's taking a city that was running well, like New York, and the trash is back on the streets? Crime is up. It's dirty, again. And again, New York sells a lot of great places. But de Blasio is not making it any easier for a lot of the people in New York. And I'm sure many of them who are not Republicans, but probably happy to see him. Maybe he'll run for president and not stay as mayor. I'm sure a lot are thinking. 1-800-684-3110 is our number if you want to talk to us on air. So I think we will get ready maybe for a political Friday show. But we're taking your calls on the immigration issue and on this new information with Clapper and Brennan. Let's go to the first, we'll go to a call on Clapper and Brennan. And again, 1-800-684-3110 to talk to us on air. You still got time to call in. That's 1-800-684-3110. We're also talking the new proposal on immigration President Trump will announce this afternoon. And we'll be talking about the Clapper and Brennan telling Comey reportedly, don't use that dossier for anything. And then Jim Baker, the FBI's top lawyer, saying, well, we took it seriously, but not literally. I just paused there for a moment so you can take that in. We took it seriously. Okay, that's fine maybe for law enforcement. Initially take it seriously. And if it's not literally good, if it's literally junk, then that's it. It goes away. You move on for evidence instead of using it as the basis for a FISA warrant and then signing off on it. If that's what you really believe, Jim Baker, shame on you, and there should be accountability. I know we've said that before. I warned. It was not so much a warning, too, because I kind of love that this is happening to these guys. I'll say it. I know we're not, as Christians, we're not supposed to want any humans to have to go through things, but there is justice, especially for government officials, and the den of vipers in the swamp. The swamp's full of a lot of different creatures. I think these guys would categorize as vipers, especially in the intelligence world. Sometimes that's a good thing, by the way, to have vipers in the intelligence world. But when they turn on each other, ooh. Take a listen to what I predicted would happen on, this was on Monday, way before I knew that Brennan and Clapper were going to get involved, or Jim Baker even. Even when the supposedly nonpartisan actors at the FBI who became very partisan quickly, and we know that through their text messages, we know that through what they've said to each other, if Rod Rosenstein is calling James Comey out, these are guys who are both Washington, D.C.,
yep.
Long-term career. They are, if there is a swamp, they are that. I mean, this is right. Where they've lived. 50-mile radius of Washington, D.C. has been their whole focus of their life and their career. And they've moved up to the number two. So, they've got about as far as you can get without going another decade. They're turning on each other like vipers. It's kind of like a viper's den of each other.
And, I mean, now we have Brennan and Clapper to add to that. Let's go right to the calls. Marlene in Illinois on line 5. Marlene, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Thank you. I had a question. I've been keeping up with all the information coming out the last few weeks on the Justice Department, the FBI, the CIA, possible links to the White House. I was wondering, has anyone looked to see if possibly some members of Congress were aware of what was going on at the time?
I mean, Harry, let me go to Than first, actually. Than, there was members of Congress on both sides of the aisle dealing with Christopher Steele. The late John McCain, we know, was, and Senator Warren was as well. Let me make that clear.
Senator Warner. And the Senate Intelligence Committee very likely had some of this information. I have been one that has wondered if that has colored their investigation into all of this. Jordan, who knew what when? I think it's a fair question to ask. Was the same information about the dossier available to those select members of Congress as was available to those who were pushing it inside of the department? I don't know the answer to that, but I think it's a fair question for those who are looking into this to ask. I mean, Jordan, essentially when you say, you know, we've got information that is literally bad and we're going to use it to lie to the FISA court to spy on Americans anyway, that should not happen. And quite frankly, anybody who knew about it, including elected officials, Jordan, we ought to know that they knew about it in advance and they ought to be held to account.
So with these, like, in the world of, like, swamp, and that can be very bipartisan. That includes plenty of Republicans who their only job has ever been in the swamp, Democrats as well. They love the power structures. They love the spying abilities. It crosses over from Congress, so from all these different branches of government, from Congress to the executive and their staffs. So, I mean, this dossier was like the worst kept secret in Washington, because if the State Department was warning the FBI about using it, and the Director of National Intelligence was warning Jim Comey about using it, these were all Obama guys, and John Brennan, the CIA director, is warning Jim Comey about using it, and Jim Baker says that we took it seriously but not literally, and they still used it. They still signed off on it. Man, they better watch out for Rod Rosenstein. He seemed pretty unhappy about what they pulled. Seems like he got something pulled on him, too, by getting him to sign off on it. You know, some benefit of the doubt there. Somebody was not getting the truth, and those judges, too. They take their role extremely seriously. But you realize this implicates every branch of government. Outside of the actual White House, which is interesting, because they didn't like this president. But it's the executive branch with the bureaucrats and some political appointees at within DOJ, FBI, legislative, and FISA, which is... pulls their judges through the Article III courts. I mean, every branch of government implicated. Some will be responsible. Others, I think, will be outraged. And that's why when the Vipers will start really going after each other. There's so much to dive into there. So much to dive into there. Harry, ultimately, I think this stems from Jim Comey's bizarre statements, Rod Rosenstein, all of this starting because they knew Bill Barr. He's been in Washington just as longer than they have. He's held positions as powerful or more powerful than all these guys. And now he's holding that position again. When he said, I'm going to open an investigation to look at this, and then an appointment was made, while suddenly everything starts popping up in the news.
Yes. So I think that's precisely correct. And so when the news hit that Attorney General Barr had appointed DOJ Assistant U.S. Attorney Durham from Connecticut to investigate the investigators, this created a feeding frenzy among the nest of vipers. They are now turning on one another, and in some respects, they're eating one another.
Interesting, too, that Baker went to Michael Isikoff host that podcast that Jim Baker went on, Skullduggery on Yahoo, and the dossier cites Isikoff's article. That article is sourced by Christopher Steele in the FISA warrant, and that's who he decided to go to. Really, really aggressive audiences. Really a hit to the, you know, get to the heart of things. Den of Vipers, not that one, but they are. They're all out. See, they're finding their friends and allies to come at each other, and that's a wonderful thing for our democracy long term.
It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org.